Please do have a pew. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather around your scripture this morning, we pray that you would bless it to each of us. And may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm very happy Strictly is back on. Anybody else happy that Strictly, is it just me? Oh, there's a few. Oh, let's be honest, who's happy that Strictly is back on? Thank you very much. Good. So quite a lot of us. I am absolutely thrilled. That's my Saturday evening sorted. If you need me on a Saturday evening between whatever it is, 7 and 8.30 or 9 o'clock, you'll have to wait. And I'll deal with you later. So I love Strictly. I love Strictly for a few reasons. I love it for the sheer entertainment factor. I love it that you take people that have got two left feet and you enable them to do something absolutely amazing. With a bit of practice and good coaching, they are able to use their body in a way that they never thought they could. And I think that is remarkable. And it's just so impressive as the week goes on. I thought, I don't know how many watched it, I don't want to do any spoilers, but let me just say, I think it was the first best week one I have ever seen. Anybody agree with me in that? Yeah. I thought it was sensational. So it does have something to do with the sermon, not a lot, but a little bit. But it's about how we use what we have into the glory of God to enable God's light to be able to reach into the lives of other people through us Christians. Because if it's not going to reach other people through us, well, then it's not going to reach them. Are we agreed? And so it's how we use those gifts. Now, you might think that Luke chapter 16 is all about that you can't have money. It isn't about why you can't have money. Money is very important. It keeps the world going, and it enables so much mission and ministry. So that is not what this passage is saying. It's saying that you cannot worship money. Money and your wealth cannot be the be end of everything that you have. And it cannot and must not fashion who you are. It must not take over everything in your life. And it's how you use that to bless others, to bring them into the light of Christ. Now, a lot of people say to me, because I'm a bit controversial, not that any of you have known that, of course, you would never have seen it. But people often say to me, oh, you can't say that, Archdeacon. By the way, I've usually already said it. But the thing is, when people say you shouldn't be controversial and Jesus was meek and mild, point them to Luke 16, all right? So you take that passage out and say, this is not very meek and mild. Now, the bit that we're reading is a tiny little bit. You've got the nice bit. You go home and read the other bit and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's seriously controversial. So Jesus was not meek and mild. He was very controversial. And he spoke into all sorts of situations. Did they like it? Not a lot. But that did not stop Jesus being controversial when he needed to be and being challenging. And so all I'm going to say to us, I'll say a bit more because you know I do. But what I think is that how we use what we have is so important. So, for instance, we might not all be Mary Berries and we might not all be Jamie Olivers. That does not mean that we can't have people round for a meal. Because you offer them what you have. And sometimes it's very refreshing for people like me that aren't a Mary Berry. It's very refreshing when I go to somebody's house and it's a ready meal. I love it. Because you know what? It's easy to have them back, isn't it? It's wonderful. And so it's what we have, and that's how we share it. So don't be worried about inviting people round. Invite them round and offer what you have. Now, if you happen to be a Mary Berry or a Jamie Oliver, that's absolutely fine as well. Because you're giving of what you have, but breaking bread with people is so very important. And some people who perhaps live by themselves or perhaps don't have family around, to gather people up after church on a Sunday and say, would you like to come and have lunch with me? Can I tell you what a blessing that is to so many people? So many people. When I was a teen rector, we had Bistove taking it on now. I never thought anybody would take any of my ideas on, but they have. So it's, and you gather up people on a Sunday and they call it taking granny or grandpa home for lunch. And we used to do that every week. And I can tell you that it enabled so much joy and hope in so many people. So I would encourage you to gather people, to break bread, to share what you have. And also with the food banks we have an enormous amount of food banks now, and I'm not going to get into any of that, so don't worry. But the reality is we have them, and therefore we need to fill them. And so it's our responsibility to feed people as Christians. We give what we have. So if you're not giving to a food bank, perhaps you've never thought about it, or perhaps it's difficult for various reasons to bring the food to wherever it needs to be, tell me and I'll sort it out. Last year, one of my food banks in Crawley ran out of food. One of my food banks ran out of food for a week. So we need to be able to give food wherever we can. So if you're able to do that, that's what this passage is saying. Give what you have. Now, it may be that you have different gifts. Look at our choir. No, I can't sing for toffee. They can. And so therefore, this morning, I have been blessed by the gift of singing, because we've all had that gift of singing. Does that make sense? Absolutely. Now, I'm not very good with money either. You ask my husband, he's not here, which is fortunate for me. But I don't really do budgets. But I'm fortunate for me, he does. So, you know, you've got people here who look after your finances. So you might not be able to have that skill, but somebody else has, which means that you will benefit from that gift. Is that right? And the gift of cleaning, look how beautiful this church is. Now, we might not all be able to do that because we might not be able to physically do that ourselves. But somebody or some people do. Therefore, we're blessed because we have this beautiful building, all clean and ready for us. So we've already been blessed this morning. We might not recognise it, but we have. The flowers that we have around us, I'm not very good at that either. I stick them in a vase and fluff them up, and I just hope for the best. Whereas here, you've got people that do a bit more than fluff them up, and they look fantastic. So we're blessed with that. We've got people who make this wonderful marmalade. I don't buy my marmalade from anywhere else, let me tell you. I buy it from here. I'm legless by 8:30 in the morning, but it's all right. But it's marvellous stuff. So we're blessed by that. So it's the gifts that we have and how we share them with one another, rather than keeping them to ourselves. And as Christians, we have a responsibility to do that to people that aren't just worshipping with us this morning, but people who are out in our communities. And there's a tremendous need in our communities. Now, I'm not going to get into any politics, because I think we've probably had enough of all of that ourselves. But what I would say as churches, we have a very important role to play in the society at this particular time, in this particular place. There is a lot of anxiety about. There is a lot of very scared, frightened people. You only have to speak to some of the businesses in Horsham. You only have to speak to some of our farmers, which I've been doing this last week. You only have to speak to, well, anybody really. And there is a tremendous tension. There's also an anxiety that this gap is not going to be brought together. People are going to be on one side or the other. And what we need to do is bring people together, regardless of our own particular point of view. As Christians, we are called to be the peacemakers and the enablers. And we need to be able to do that effectively by not arguing the toss with people, but by listening to them and trying to hear their point of view and being able to speak into that and knowing that Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, is loving those on either side of this. And it's about bringing them together and enabling Christ's peace to reign. But please pray for our businesses. Please pray for our communities that are broken and divided. Please pray for our politicians. Pray for our Christian politicians. They need tremendous help and courage to be able to speak into what is a bit of a mess, if we're honest. And we need to help them and give them our full, dedicated support. But as a church, I think we've got all the opportunities at our hand. So we don't need to be worried. So if anybody here this morning is a bit worried, you do not need to be. Because what will happen is that Christ will overcome. Because that's what's always happened. So we just need to look back. And however dark a night it may feel, let me tell you one thing. That morning always, always comes. So however it is for you personally, you need to know that morning always comes. And it's about our faithful living and how we do that creatively and share those gifts that God has given us, that we don't keep them to ourselves, that we're able to give and we were able to receive with love and care as well. Sometimes receiving is more tricky for us than giving, isn't it? But we need to be able to do both. And this morning, a bit later on, we're going to see 50 years of faithful marriage living with Derek and Marilyn. Isn't that amazing? How blessed are we to be able to pray a prayer of blessing over these two people who have served God and each other faithfully for that length of time. What a living testimony we will see here this morning. And I'm sure afterwards they'll tell you, because I'm sure in that 50 years they will have had moments where it have been dark and difficult, and how the light has come into those moments, and how between them they've been able to navigate with Christ those difficulties. And we will be able to do the same. I am very confident that our country will come through this and we will be what God needs us to be. Do we all agree? Amen. Amen. And so we need to pray for that and enable one another and don't argue about it. Listen to one another. I was coming in here this morning, people walking down the path, nobody coming to church, so don't worry. And they were arguing with one another, they had the paper in their hand and they were pointing to the paper and somebody, and I thought, oh my goodness. So let's not get involved in all of that. Let us do what we can and let those who debate do the debating and let us do the praying and bringing of the peace as we share our gifts with those who need them and with each other. Amen.